big old trout. It's just as cool as the evening shade. Well, I toss my line and I haul it up. I think I've got it made.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio along with the Grizz from helping us out from the City of Peace, the beautiful capital city of Baja Sur, which is La Paz. And on the other side of the world, we have Carl Vicente. Now, Carl, thanks for coming in today. And Carl's going to tell us a little bit about his favorite place where he lives, which is in Hawaii. Carl, give us a quick idea, first of all, exactly where you're calling from.
Aloha, everybody. I'm calling from Oahu, which is in the state of Hawaii, and most people refer to the island of Oahu and know it as being in Honolulu.
Okay. Well, what we want to talk to you about, Carl, a little bit is you've been there for some time, and I know you used to own a chain of dive shops, and I suspect you've done a little bit of fishing there. Let's get maybe an overall view of fishing in Hawaii. I don't know a lot about it, but I do know that some of the biggest marlin come out of there. And, you know, they've got pretty, I'm guessing, most everything that you'd find down where Grizz lives in southern Baja, you can probably find in Hawaii. Is that right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There are over 405 species of indigenous fish here. We have great weather, calm deep seas with currents that allow big game to come and go.
Mm-hmm. And I think that is kind of one of the keys, too, that you're talking about, is the Hawaiian Islands. They just kind of rise up off of the ocean floor from the very deep depths. And a lot of the pelagic, like marlin, do like to travel in deep water.
Yep. The sport and deep sea fishing activities here are abundant. With all the visitors that we get, each island, whether it be the Big Island, Kona, Maui, or here on Oahu, there are abundance of different fishing platforms, fishing boats, fishing sizes that are available to people that do visit here and want to do some sport fishing or deep sea fishing.
Well, give us an idea on a typical day. I've heard, you know, a little bit about it. And Grizz, you've fished Hawaii before, haven't you?
Yeah, I have.
And I guess one of the differences is that the sport fishing boats, you know, they can be a little pricey. Of course, everything in Hawaii tends to be a little bit more because you have to get it there. And fuel, of course, is going to be more expensive. But one of the things that I find, I guess, interesting is that when you charter a boat and you do catch a fish, of whatever the fish is, it actually doesn't belong to the angler. It belongs to the boat. Is that correct?
Well, you know, here in Hawaii, you are going to have your choice on the size, type, style of sport fishing boat that you prefer to go out on.
Okay.
You can do everything from, you know, a large number of people on a vessel to a semi-private or a private. The prices vary, you know, depending on what you do pick and the style of sport fishing that you'd like to do. Again, big game fish being the attractive, sexy thing most people that visit want to do, our boats here have different programs for different boats.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. You know, everything in Hawaii is expensive, but some of the programs and the questions that your listeners may want to ask when they are going to go to the website or they're going to go to the agency that they want to check who, what, when, where, and how to go sport fishing in Hawaii. The big questions to ask, depending on what they want to get out of it, you know, we have vessels that are, you know, catch and release vessels that are, you know, basically from a conservation perspective, and they're out there. We have vessels that operate, and when you do catch, they take that fish to market, 100% of that fish to market. And then there are other vessels that will share that catch or a portion of that catch with the people that are actually on the boat that want to take that back home or, mm-hmm. you know, to do whatever they will with it. So there's different programs to look for. There's different questions to ask, and I suggest, you know what you want to do, and you ask those questions before booking a charter so there's no surprise.
Gotcha.
Each location is different.
And generally speaking, when you go to Hawaii and get on one of the sport fishing boats, do you need to bring anything with you?
You know, and everything is provided, and they go over that when you book. They have refreshments, they have food, they have suntan lotion, they have, the top-of-the-line fishing equipment available for people to enjoy. You basically book the charter, and they actually even have, in most cases, transportation to and from the vessel.
Mm-hmm. And if you wanted to go to Hawaii and fish, I know that you live on the island of Oahu in the city of Honolulu. Is there some places that are more productive than others?
That depends on who you really talk to. But if you want to get into the statistical aspects of it, you can go online. And the marine biology program at the UH has some catch reports, and also our Department of Land and Natural Resources has those reports available on the type of fish and, who has, the largest marlin caught this week, this month, and it varies. I mean, the islands are so close, the water is deep in between the islands that the volcanic land masses just popped out of the ocean floor, and we have good currents, and they flow, and they bring in that large pelagic game that people get excited about.
Okay. Well, that all sounds great. And, of course, if you want to get in the water, that's a perfect place to do it also, isn't it? If you want to do some spearfishing or scuba diving or any other kind of sports in the water.
Absolutely. Again, every day is a beautiful day. The skies are clear, the sun is shining. Seas are mostly calm, and the water is warm. So there are a boatload of activities here. When it comes to charter fishing, which is what your listeners are really interested in, these people that own and operate charter boats, they do it because they love to fish. They were born to fish. They captain their own boats in most cases, and you can get the personal service that you are looking for, and they're in this business because the majority of them love to fish. Again, they were born to fish, and they do want you to have a good time. They do want to spread the aloha spirit, and they do want to exceed your expectations.
Great. And one other quick question, we're going to let you go. Is there any season?
Actually, it's 12 months out of the year. We have good weather somewhere, and the pelagic fish seem to hit our extensive NOAA buoy programs and travel island to island.
Wow. Okay. Well, that sounds great. So I guess the overview of what you're saying is that, first of all, if you're going to go to Hawaii and go fishing, don't just walk down to the docks and get on a boat. What you want to do is do some research, find out exactly what it is that you're looking for, and ask all the questions so there's no surprises.
Absolutely.
Okay. And, of course, Grizz has been very patiently waiting by there, but we do know that some of the biggest marlin come out of Hawaii. Is that right?
Yeah, there are large marlin caught in Hawaii, just under 1,000 pounds, on a weekly basis.
Wow. Carl,
people are excited.
We appreciate you taking the time to do that, and you've been very, very helpful, and hopefully I'll get to get over there one of these days and go fishing with you.
Well, I'd love to do that. Okay. Have a wonderful day there.
Okay.
California.
Thank you, Carl. Aloha. We appreciate that very much. Okay, you're listening to Fish Talk Radio, and we just got information that we were looking for in Hawaii, and we have Grizz on the line with us, who we're going to be coming back to very shortly, and we're going to see if we can get a report from John at the Fish Hound all over, and then we're going to go up to the Bay Area. So, Grizz, you stay tuned. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio, and we'll be right back with you.
West Marine is America's favorite boating supply source. They've got thousands of items to keep your boat looking good and running like new. West Marine has an incredible selection of apparel and footwear for all your adventures on land and sea. Boats, motors, screws, fittings, the latest electronics, fishing gear, apparel, and friendly, knowledgeable staff. With locations nationwide, West Marine has all you need for fun on the water. Call 1-800-BOATING or log on to westmarine.com to locate the store nearest you. World-class golf, fishing, and diving in the clear, warm waters of the Sea of Cortez with a true five-star resort. The Grand Heritage Hotel and Resort at Costa Baja, great value and without the hustle of other parts of Baja. On the white sand beach with Espiritu Santos Island minutes away. Signature restaurants, pools, and accommodations for an intimate weekend, weddings, or corporate events. On the web at Costa Baja Resort.
I was fishing last Friday on a lake in Mississippi in the humid summer heat. On a boat with my best friend Cletus, who was sleeping in the back seat. Well, the bites were slow and we were running low on chips and Gatorade.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with the Grizz. And we have another visitor that just kind of wandered in from the hallway that John Kerska will be back, might be talking to in a little bit. But right now, we want to talk to John from Fishhound. And John is going to be able to, well, I don't know what he's going to be able to do. I haven't really talked to him about what we're doing today. But Fishhound gets reports from all over the country and even outside of the country. So, John, why don't you give us a quick idea what's happening this time of the year?
Hey, guys, how's it going? Yeah, I'm going to give you a little bit of a rundown across the country. Starting out at Oneida Lake in New York, excellent bass fishing this past week on Senkos and topwater frogs in the weeds. You've got good pickerel in the shallows and walleye in the deeper waters continue to keep anglers busy. And use extreme caution on the lake with two accidents happening in the past week. There is often a lot of boat traffic with fishermen and vacationers now out for the summer. And moving on over to Lake Minnetonka in Minnesota, sunfish, pike, and bass are hanging around the greenest, deepest weeds you can find. Walleye action has been limited to a few fish taking with leeches or fatheads in the deep weed lines of the bigger bays during low light periods. Musky anglers are seeing fish, but most aren't willing to bite. And the crappies are scattered and suspended off the deep weed lines.
Mm-hmm.
And then wrapping out over into our area, Clear Lake in California, the bass bite has been tough. The weeds are shallow and offshore, and bass are spread. Challenge is finding active bass either in shallow weeds or offshore weeds. It takes time and a lot of moving around, so patience is in order. Crawdads, topwater punching are also good bets. Punching is the dominant tactic, it seems like, at the moment. And
I'm sorry, you said punching?
Yeah, punching the bet is the best bet right now.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that. Can you give a quick explanation?
Well, punching is usually done with frogs or heavier jigs through thicker cover.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Through grass mats, milfoil grass, lily pads and such, where you really need to make an impact on the top that's going to create that trigger bite from the bass underneath.
Got it. Get them excited.
Yeah. Got to wake them up.
Okay. And then, moving up and down, of course, we're going to get some more reports from Baja. And I don't know where else you've got anything interesting going on, but this time of the year, obviously, is time to get out there on the water and hopefully take the family with you.
Yeah, the weather's been great across the country. Get out there, get on the water, and have some fun.
Right. And then, of course, as you mentioned, this time of the year also, sometimes there's some imbibement that's happening out on the water to keep yourself refreshed, and you want to be real careful about that.
Absolutely.
Okay. John, we really appreciate that. Let's just give Fishhound a real quick plug, and the website is?
Yeah, the website is fishhound.com. That's fishhound.com. Check us out for all of your local information on fishing reports.
Mm-hmm.
You can participate in contests and even become a club member and set various fishing products in the industry.
Right. No, you guys have a great program going on. So we appreciate all that information, John, and we'll be talking to you maybe next week.
Sounds like a plan, guys. Thank
Alrighty.
You so much.
Okay, we're going to move over now to the west coast and south of San Francisco, Half Moon Bay. We have Tom Matouche on the Hooli Cat that's going to give us a little bit of an idea of what's happening in that part of the world. Tom, good to have you back.
Hey, good morning. Well, I'll tell you, this is a great time to be fishing here off the Half Moon Bay area. It was funny. I saw a fellow today with three shirts and a T-shirt on. To give you an idea, those of you that have triple-digit heat around where you are, or even high 80s and 90s. So I tell people I go to work in the summer with three layers of clothing on, and they find it hard to believe. But the rock fishing has been really good lately. Been seeing ling cod. The interesting thing about rock fishing, for instance, for somebody who hasn't tried it here on the West Coast, is there's 53 different fish that can take that hook when you drop it to the bottom. I just had an author out here on a book tour, Mark Haynes, who came fishing with me from Alabama. It was so rewarding to see how excited he got. Every fish is a different color, a different shape, a different size, and they are all great to eat. They've got chameleons, coppers, yellowtail, blacks, blues, had a ling cod. So a lot of fun fishing out here. In addition, we've got some great king salmon fishing. If you haven't tied into a 20 or 30-pound king salmon, you don't know what you're missing. Big battle, easy to lose fish, you need a lot of finesse. We love taking people out for these things.
Well, it sounds like you've got a lot of variety. So when you start off in the morning, do you have any idea where you're going to go and what you're going to do and what you're going to catch?
Generally, I'll try and say, okay, today is a salmon trip. Today is a rockfish trip. We just started getting some albacore tuna. Now, the albacore is about 60 miles offshore. The salmon are pelagic, so they can be anywhere from a mile or so outside the harbor to, I guess, the furthest we ran this season was about 28 miles. Rock cod, although there's some reefs very, very local, generally we run about 10 to 18 miles. And then, for instance, occasionally we'll have Farallon Island trips. Now, the Farallon Islands are terrific to see something that desolate offshore, and they're 28 miles from our coast. We do have one of those planned on the books, so it's just fun to see. And then you come out in October, November, that's when the white sharks are feeding on the sea lions. And it's not too unusual to just see the birds going crazy and realize, whoa, we just had a great big old shark attack there.
Wow. Yeah, but that area is known for great whites, isn't it? So I'm sure that they're kind of exciting to see, but I'm not sure I'd want to see one up too close.
Well, we see a lot of unusual things. I kept thinking only South Africa had the great whites left out of the water. However, I've seen it down at Ananuevo, and then I was down at Pescadero and had a group of people fishing, and I see a sea lion that's being chased. At first, I thought it was by a much larger one, just playfully.
Mm-hmm.
Then I see a white shark totally clear the water, and then the second time, the white shark 100% cleared the water. It landed on top of the sea lion, and that was a battle that took place maybe 30 yards from the boat.
Wow.
It left people speechless. I was so speechless I didn't pick up my camera that I had.
Well, you know, it's that's nature, isn't it?
It is. Well, you know, speaking of nature, the people that don't want to do fishing trips, we do whale watching, we do bird trips.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things to see on this great, vast Pacific Ocean.
You mentioned earlier about albacore. There's some albacore running now?
They're more down by the Davidson, so mm-hmm. we need a little bit of the water out. We have three or four seamounts right outside of Half Moon Bay, about 60 miles.
I see.
Pioneer, the Tide, and the Gumdrop, and we've got some great vast canyons that come up about 20 to 30 miles offshore. If we can get that water to clear up, I think those fish will come up our way.
Okay. And, you know, the albacore, they like it right about around 62.
Actually, we get the old home guards, big 30-40 pounders, usually loners, in about 58 and slightly green. Mm-hmm. By the time the water gets to 60, you've got your more school-type albacore in the 15 to 30-pound range. And by the time you get to 62 degrees, we may have some skipjack and different. Well, once in a while, we'll get some yellowtail, some mahi-mahi. We've seen a lot of unusual things offshore as well.
And, you know, just in case... In case no one has actually never caught an albacore, they sure are a lot of fun. Of course, they're, you know, they're great to eat, and there's a little bit of confusion because when you buy, you know, the white meat tuna, it'll say white meat albacore tuna, but albacore actually is not a tuna.
Well, yellowtail is jack. There's a lot of different fine divisions here on our tuna classifications. The one thing they all have in common when you catch a fish that far offshore, they're strong, and it's a real battle. There's a lot of excitement. It's just tremendous to tie into one of these fish, and whether you're fishing on the troll, once we catch fish on the troll, we fish what's called the slide with either swim baits. Your bass fishermen are familiar with that, just the rubber tail baits. Or possibly we say iron. Those are your different shiny things, the things that imitate fish. So we'll fish the slide. I'll tell you, you tie into one of these things in your light gear, and you got a 20, 30. Well, actually, we've seen bluefin that go over 200 pounds.
Okay.
We generally lose those because they're too strong for the gear.
Right. That's right. Bluefin have a tendency to travel with albacore, don't they?
Many times they're in the same water. Some just slightly different, maybe further back. If you've got a good pike going on the slide for albacore, if you want a chance at bluefin, then you got to go down another 50 to 80 feet. The bluefin will be up in the same water usually with the albacore. They'll be down deeper.
Tom, we're going to have to let you go, but your website is, what is it again?
Hulicat.com.
H-U-L-I.
Hulicat.com.
We appreciate that, and I'll tell you what, you get into a school of those fish that you're talking about, it's pandemonium. We appreciate you coming on, Tom. We'll talk to you real soon. We also still have the Grizz being very patiently in the background, so we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come right back to Fish Talk Radio, and we also have John Kursk in the studio. Maybe we can get him to join in the conversation with us. Be right back with you.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAHA.
For more than a century, sport fishermen have led the charge for conservation. From trout to marlin, anglers have worked to protect our natural resources and establish successful programs that benefit fish and fishermen. Today, this legacy is at risk unless we step up and lead the fight for real-world conservation. That's what the Sport Fishing Conservancy is all about, doing what's best for fish and fishing and making sure anglers get the credit we deserve. Check out the Sport Fishing Conservancy and find out how you can help at sportcon.org.
I'm going fishing.
I'm going fishing.
Now let me tell you now, I don't care about the evening news. I'm going fishing.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hannigan in studio, and we also have the Grizz on the line, and sitting in here also we have John Kurska. So we're having a real fishing party. Right now, I believe we have Bonnie on the line from Lake Shabbat, and she's going to give us a quick idea where it is and why anybody would want to go there. Bonnie, thanks for coming in.
Hi, how are you doing? It's actually Lake Chabot.
What? Oh, yeah, John, you messed up.
Yeah, you just, you know, a lot of people pronounce it Shabbat, but it actually is pronounced Lake Chabot.
Okay.
Chabot.
Located right here in San Leandro, Castor Valley, off of Lake Chabot Road.
Okay. And that, of course, would be, I guess, would you call it North Central California?
Yes, I would. I would call this Northern California.
Okay. And give us an idea why anybody in the United States might be interested in coming over to visit with you.
Oh, we have about 315 acres of park around here,
mm-hmm.
with a 9-mile shoreline lake surrounded by beautiful eucalyptus trees and
mm-hmm.
oak trees, all everything native to California. We are a man-made lake here, so this is not natural, but they did one heck of a job creating a natural park for everyone. Plenty of wildlife to look at around here. We have got lots of geese, hawks. We do have deer and mountain lions. Watch out for those mountain lions. But we also have a nesting family of bald eagles that's very spectacular. They've been here for a couple months now, and the baby has just fledged the nest.
Sounds like a nice place. How's the fishing?
Oh, the fishing is great right now. Right now we're planting about 500 to 1,000 pounds of catfish every week here in the lake all the way through till end of September. And then once the winter weather hits in again, we're going to start planting trout every week. We pay Mount Lassen Fishery to come down here and plant for us. So you guys can come down here and rent a boat. You can get an electric boat or get in a rowboat, or if you guys are into kayaking or pedaling, you can come down here and fish from any one of our boats. And we are a full bait and tackle shop here. We do rent out fishing poles, fishing equipment. We sell licenses. We also sell lots of different bait you need, live bait like mackerel and anchovies, and we also have frozen bait like night crawlers and redworms.
So this would be a great place for the novice then, who doesn't need to buy all of his gear, he can just throw the kids in the car, drive up, and it basically if he's got his ATM card, you can take care of him.
Exactly, yeah. And if you come on a Tuesday, Wednesday, or a Thursday all year round, all of our boats are half off.
Wow.
Yeah, and we do offer a small lesson if you guys ask on how to cast out, how to bait up your hook and everything, and we make sure that you guys are all set and geared up to go before you head out on the lake.
Oh,
yeah, we also have a guided tour, the Queen 2. It's about 24 passengers. We charter that out every weekend, about 4 times a day, and that's just about a $5 ticket fee, and we take you all the way around the lake and let you know a little bit more about the man-made lake that we have here, Lake Chabot.
Now I know where to send my the mother-in-law 3 days a week.
Yeah.
No, send her with me. We'll use her for shark bait.
That sounds like a great place to take the family if anybody's going to be driving around visiting California. It sounds like that would be just perfect, where even if you're not
if
you're not an expert angler, everybody can have fun.
Well, it sounds like a great place for the family, John.
Mm-hmm. And Bonnie, give us a quick idea how the people can they get in touch with you. Bonnie.
Unfortunately, our phones here are a little bad on the service,
okay.
So it's a little hard for me to hear you.
Not a problem. We just want to get some contact information.
Okay. Yeah. You can go ahead and call us down here at the marina, area code 510-247-2526. That is our number, Lake Chabot Marina, right here in Castor Valley, California.
Bonnie, you did a fantastic job. I think everybody out there listening wants to go to visit you.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
I would hope so. It's
thank
a great
you,
place.
Bonnie.
So.
Make
right.
sure if you show up, tell them Bonnie sent you.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Make sure to tell my boss. That's
okay.
right.
There you go. Thanks, Bonnie. We appreciate that.
You can also find us on Facebook as well. So go ahead and like us on Facebook.
Okay, and that is Lake Chabot?
Lake Chabot Fishing Marina.
With the T at
the
end.
In the beautiful East Bay Regional Park District.
Okay.
The place to go, Lake Chabot.
There you go. Hey, that's our new slogan for sure.
Thanks, Bonnie.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Okay. Grizz, I know that you've been waiting there patiently, and I think it's time for us to get together and talk a little bit about some of the things that you've been doing. I talked to you after you got back from Magdalena Bay, which is in the state of Baja California Sur, And it's also a place that a lot of the San Diego long-range fleets go all the way down there to go fishing. And there's a reason for that, isn't there?
Yeah, well, it's great fishing down there. But this time, John, I didn't really go out there to fish. What we did is we spent 4 days with the fishermen, the commercial fishermen, and learned a heck of a lot. We went out and we fished the giant squids, watched how they actually, we made a show about it, how they catch them, how they process it, where they send it to, how they pack it, and everything. Also, we went out and we put divers in, and we dove with abalone. The guys out, that is a very, very dangerous thing, John. I just couldn't imagine. I was hanging on to the gunwales of the boat the whole time. It's they go into the shore real close, and those waves are really, really shooting high, and they jump in with the, they use a hose instead of tanks, and they go down with it, and they have to go through the weeds. I mean, the seaweed is so thick, and they feel their way through it and find the abalone, and then they cut it, you actually pop it off because it's like a giant suction cup, and we did that. And we went and went out with the guys putting out the big crab traps, went and set them up with them. We caught octopus in the traps and eels.
Grizz, are we talking inside the bay or outside?
This was the abalone and the squid was outside in Magdalena, you know, outside the island. Then the crab and all the clam and all that was actually inside the bay. So, I mean, we spent a good time there. It was absolutely incredible, John. We met these people. We lived with them. We stayed with them. Every one of them was very, very kind to us. We filmed their lives, where they live, what they do, how dangerous it is, how hard they work. And it was a very, very interesting show, John. And then we went on the islands. We went to the old cemeteries that date back. The earliest grave we found was 1842 of the whalers there. And then we went through the old whaling factories. And we found a factory, John, which was really interesting, where they used to catch all of the big sea turtles and bring them in. And actually cut them up for meat and then dry their skin for boots and stuff when that was legal. We went through that. It was just a wonderful, wonderful time. We filmed it all. It was really great.
Well, obviously we know now that you don't kill sea turtles or whales. And there's why don't you tell us real quickly about Mag Bay and the whales?
Well, Mag Bay, where we went in, the reason that there used to be whalers there and they killed so many of them is the gray whales come in from all over the place and they give birth there in the bay. And, I mean, they're very friendly. I mean, they've got actually what they call friendly whales that come right up to the boat and raise their head up, look into the boat. You can touch them and everything. Well, for years and years and years, when the people found out they came in there, we're talking about the 1800s, early 1900s, they would wait on the whales, the mother whales, to come in before they gave birth, and they would kill them there. And that's actually how the little town got created.
Interesting. Things have certainly changed.
Oh, yeah, it has. It's right now, it's awesome. We dove and we caught lobster. We didn't keep any lobster. That's the season's not in. But we've seen literally hundreds of them. We filmed them, and I caught one and brought it up to the top just to look at it and put it back. And I mean, it was a great, great time we spent, John. I mean, just wonderful. Met wonderful people and learned an awful lot about the commercial fishing.
You know, Grizz, it's kind of funny because a couple years ago they did a big story on the urchin divers and the abalone divers have the most dangerous jobs I think there is just because of the environment that they're in. So it was kind of neat that you got to see all that stuff going on.
Well, you know what it was fantastic. We had divers, and our divers went with their divers, and we actually filmed everything underwater, what they do and what they go through. And then, of course, Charles and I was in a panga, a small boat up on top, trying to stay away from getting bashed into the rock on the island. So, I mean, you get up above what the guys do and down below what they do. And let me tell you, my respects, it was pretty scary.
So that's not something you do then, huh, Grizz?
No, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, okay. Well, Grizz, we're going to take a break here in just a little bit and come back, and then maybe we can do some more of a Baja report in addition to Magdalena Bay, and see if John Kirsten wants to join in, because he certainly knows a lot about Cabo San Lucas. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But we appreciate that. It's a fascinating story. Yeah, I had no idea that there was that much life and shellfish in that bay. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio, and we're going to be right back with you. Grizz, don't go away. We'll be right back.